I want to welcome you all here, both in Lagos and Ibadan, for our last lecture in the Marriage Covenant Seminar. And we will end now with the final covenant oath that the wife makes before God when she marries a man, her husband, and that is that she will grant him honor and respect, both in public and private. Let's pray, shall we? O Lord God, this is your holy word. We are your servants. Give us understanding that we might know your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word to set us apart this day to your service and to your glory. Show us now great and mighty things which we do not know. The sower sows the word. Let not your word go out and return void, but accomplish that purpose for which you are now sending it out, and for which you have gathered these together to hear it. Protect us from Satan, Lord, who will snatch your word, making it fruitless. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion of other interests which enter in and choke your word, making it fruitless. Protect us from a wrong reaction to difficulties and discouragements and persecutions which make our hearts hard and unresponsive to your word. Rather, plow up now the hard ground of our hearts, O Lord. Give us good soil that your sown written word might send roots downward and then bear fruit upward. Unsheath now the sword of your spirit, O Lord. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge now the thoughts and intentions of each heart you have gathered here. Spread your word before us as a banquet table, O Lord. Grant grace that we might drink of the sweet milk and eat of the rich meat of the great doctrines of your word. Give us the heart of the prophet who called to you. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. O Lord, we live in a dark and a wicked age. Broad is the way, and many are on it, which leads to destruction. Make your word a lamp to our feet. Make your word a light to our path. Show us that narrow way that you would have us run. And Lord, as we run in the paths of your commandments, enlarge our hearts, that in loving you, we might be more obedient to your written word. Drop your word against our lives this day as a plumb line, O Lord. Grant grace that we might see how we deviate from its high and its holy purposes. Make your word to us a mirror, O Lord. Grant grace that we might not be as those who look and go away and forget, but make us active doers, not forgetful listeners of your word. O Lord, because of our fealty to you, because of our undying love and devotion to your Son, our resurrected Savior, we pledge to you this day our total submission to your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word, and we pledge to you our unquestioning obedience to all of its commands. In the name of our Lord and our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. Boy, I am going to do something here. I thought I saw Rennie Austin from Missouri. She had joined us for one of the lectures, and I really appreciate that. What a blessing to Rennie and Pat. We're in our Tuesday morning Holy Spirit study, and what a blessing to see her there. Now, we are going to look now at the wife granting her husband respect in public and private. If you would like a copy of these notes, here is the email, jmahon@gciweb.org. So if you write that down, or quickly take your phone and take a picture of this page so that you'll have it, you can send me an email and I'll send you the notes. I will also be making a flash drive of all of these lectures and turning those over to Brother Amika, and I'm sure he is going to share some with you. The question is, do you love Jesus? That's always the question. If, as Ephesians 5:24 commands, the wife is to be subject to her husband as the church is subject to Christ, then those verses which define the church's undying love for Christ also define a wife's undying love for her husband. And what is something the church does every Sunday in worship? We praise and honor our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We praise Him and honor Him. And if the wife is to be subject to her husband as the church is to Christ, then that will also be a regular part of our ministry to our husband, to praise Him and honor Him. Now, when it comes to respect, the question is, do you love Jesus? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you say, well, you know, John, I can do all these things, but, you know, just showing my husband respect, I just cannot do that. He's unworthy of it. And that's fine. You don't love Jesus. There was a university student in my ministry named Bobby Pinkston, and Bobby was probably the most faithful man in the ministry, except in one area. That was door-to-door witnessing on Wednesday night. So I was talking with Bobby about that, and I had showed him John 14:15, but also John 14:24. He does not love me, does not keep my commandments. We looked at Acts 1:8. And other passages about witnessing. And Bobby just said, no, this is just something. I'll do anything. I can't do that. And I said, well, Bobby, let's just commit this area to the Lord, shall we? And he said, great. And I said, I'll go first. Dear Lord, Bobby just wants you to know that he doesn't love you, and he's not going to obey you in the area of witnessing. And we're just putting this on the table. And now Bobby is going to pray. And just pray, I don't love you and I won't witness. Okay, Bobby, go ahead. Bobby looked at me in shock and said, I can't do that. Oh, you're already doing it. Let's just say it out loud, shall we? Well, Bobby went on to be one of the most faithful witnesses on campus, and ended up in charge of the Navigator Evangelism Program for the entire university. But the first thing Bobby had to deal with was, did he love Jesus? Not was witnessing hard, was he gifted in witnessing, was it embarrassing, might it affect our recommendations for professors, for him to go to medical school. None of these things were an issue. The issue was, did he love Jesus? Now, we have to remember, there is a difference. There is a difference between wanting your husband to be happy versus doing that which ensures a happy husband, isn't there? I don't know very many women who would wake up in the morning and say, I really hope my husband is unhappy today. No, if you ask them, do you want your husband to be happy? They'll say yes. If I would ask them, then write me down on an index card the 5 things that you've boiled down that you will do on a regular basis that will make your husband happy. They can't tell me. They might spontaneously do this or that. But what they should write down are the 5 covenants that we have covered. But they not only would not know the 5 covenants that they swore to God when they married the husband, but they can't tell me anything that they do consistently, specifically to make their husband happy. Now, they may have some things in their life routine that makes their husband happy, but they would do that whether they were married or not. No. What are you doing specifically, purposefully, to ensure your husband is happy? Now, wanting your husband, that should be husband there, wanting your husband to earn your respect by being an exemplary and heroic figure, that's different from giving your husband respect, both public and private, because you love Jesus. Very different. Very different. Well, in our culture, both Nigeria and in my home country, respect is given to those who earn it by some exemplary advancement or achievement or some heroic action. It is earned. And your husband will never receive that type of respect unless God has in store for him a specific type of achievement or advancement. But most of us live out our lives in relative anonymity. People in church and our extended family and a few in our neighborhood know who we are, and that's it. And we cannot look forward to having respect unless our wife takes it on herself to make it her task to fulfill her covenant to minister to us in that way. Now, let's compare something. What is disrespect? An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. And disrespect, as you go through life and disrespect your husband, I've seen some of these men, and their health goes. A lot of times they're overweight, they're kind of lethargic, they have fallen countenance, and they've just been beaten down by their wife's nagging and disrespectful behavior. Let's contrast that with Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, what does it say here? Let each individual love his wife as himself. But what must each individual wife do? This is a personal decision. She is to see to it that she respects her husband. It is not that when your husband deserves respect, make sure you give him the respect he's earned. No, it is a focused decision on your part as a regular routine of life to see to it that your husband is respected in public and private, and you are the cutting edge of that. The Greek word here is phobia. It has to do with military honor. And your husband has authority in the home as the spiritual leader. And your responsibility is to make sure, as the spiritual leader, of your home, placed there by God, that he receives the respect he should. Now, the Bible does say in 1 Peter 3:7 that husbands should respect their wives as a weaker vessel. But that Greek word is timē, and it refers to something that is beautiful, fragile, and precious. So a husband is to set his wife apart as something that is beautiful and fragile and precious, and place her in a situation where her glory is seen by all, and it is a respectful position in the home. But the husband's position of respect is one of honor and authority, phobio, which is different. You see, Proverbs 19:13 says, "A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are constant dripping." Just as Delilah wore down and humiliated Samson before everyone, head shaved, working like an ox, people laughing at him in public, so a contentious wife who shames her husband and does not give him honor is like a drip, drip, drip upon his life. And he just becomes worn down. Drip, drip, drip. Just the peck, peck, pecking of mother hen. Back, 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 back. Oh, you're always just like your father. Back, 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 back. My mother warned you me about you. Back, 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 back. Oh, don't be so hard on the children. Back, 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 back. Oh, you're too strict. Back, 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 back. You never come home to a hot dinner. Back, 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 back. Why don't you do more in the church? Back, 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 back. Why aren't you more like the pastor? Back, 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 back. Why aren't you more like my sister's husband? Back, 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 back. Why don't you make more money like my husband? Back, 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 back. That's sin, ladies. It's sin. It's not that respecting your husband is an alternative to disrespecting him. No, respecting your husband is loving Jesus and obeying him. Disrespecting your husband is not loving Jesus and disobeying him. Richard and I are not offering you alternatives. Now, this is one way, you know, people live in the home, but we'd like you to offer a more pleasant alternative. No, we're not offering you alternatives. We are offering you a dividing point. Sin and righteousness. Not loving Jesus, loving Jesus. Disobeying God, obeying God. Quenching the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit. See, 1 Peter 3:1 and 2 says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word," they are disobedient. They may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. See the contrast between the constant pecking, dripping of the sinful, disobedient wife and the loving, chaste, respectful behavior of the wife who loves Jesus. Where are you in this? Now, one of the things that Eleanor shares, and if she were teaching this, because what generally I will teach the men and Eleanor will teach the women, is a verse in Luke 16:8 where Jesus says, "And his master praised the unrighteous manager or steward because he had acted shrewdly." And then Jesus makes a statement, "For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light." And that's true, especially in the area of respect. The military knows the power of respect and giving honor. Businesses know. They give a 5-year plaque, a 10-year plaque. I know when my wife was teaching on a teacher's birthday, they had a cake and a birthday party. They recognized the teacher of the year. They had different ways of making sure the students showed respect and honor to the teachers. The non-Christian world knows that and are shrewd in this and know how respect and honor motivates people. Well, she would share with them Proverbs 2:16, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. Now, if you are praising your husband, you are not flattering. But the adulteress will flatter and seek to seduce him. Is your husband susceptible to the flattering of the adulteress woman because he is so needy in this area? Because you don't do that? See, this sinful strange woman is more shrewd in the relationship with your husband in trying to seduce him than you are in loving Jesus and obeying him. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of the adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. See, the adulteress is more wise and acts more shrewdly towards the son of this age than you do in your relationship to your husband of the light. You are shaming him. You are a contentious wife. But this adulteress, her speech is smoother than honey. It's sweet as honey. Say, well, I'm no adulteress. Well, we looked at Song of Solomon. God wants you to be that to your husband so he is not tempted by this adulteress. Look at what she does. She seizes him and kisses him and with a brazen face says to him, what about you? When your husband comes through the door, do you seize him and kiss him and write to his face, tell him how wonderful you are and how exciting he is and how happy you are to be home? Is that how you meet him? Or do you meet him like this? Honey, I'm home. Well, it's about time you got home. The children have all been disobedient and you still haven't fixed the cabinet and you forgot to pay the light bill. Go back out and did you bring the eggs like I texted you? You didn't bring the eggs. Go get the eggs. And what about the children's school fees? And we have prayer meeting tonight and I'm trying to cook dinner and I've been with these children all day. Where have you been? Huh? Is that what happens when he walks through the door? See, this adulteress, she is more shrewd to the sons of her age than you are to your husband of the light. With many persuasions she entices him, and with flattering lips she seduces him. And what greets your husband when he walks through the door? Well, Eleanor has a project. She has the ladies read Proverbs 7, and they make a list of everything that the adulteress does, and correspondingly, how her husband, that need should be met in his life to keep him from being susceptible to her. That is very important. So let's look now. If the Bible commands you to respect, if the Bible commands you to have respectful behavior to your husband, that is your ministry to your husband. Let's look at some practical applications. And as we talk about these practical applications, the question always comes back, if not you, who? If you are not going to do these things, do you want Sister Jezebel to do them? Do you want Sister Jezebel to do them? Now, every mother knows the shallowness of feigned respect or obedience without respect, or without any respect, obedience without respect by a child, don't we? They roll their eyes. My mother used to say to me, "Young man, do not look at me in that tone of voice." Because our eyes speak, don't they? So do you roll your eyes? Do you purse your lips? "Okay, I'm going to do this." But there won't be any respect associated with it. You don't like that from your children, do you? Then don't do it to your husband. Do not reproduce this immature, disrespectful behavior of a child in your behavior as an adult Christian woman to your husband. Don't think that they will, if you are disrespecting your husband in the home, don't think they're going to stop with him. They know the verses in the Bible about a wife's relationship with her husband, and they know the verses in the Bible about obeying their mother. And if you don't have to obey daddy, why should they obey you? If you don't have to respect daddy, why should they obey you? "Oh, Brother John, please pray for me. I don't know why my children are so disrespectful. Sometimes I'm talking to them and they just walk away. Sometimes they roll their eyes. They correct me. They just walk in their room and slam the door. They say no to me. Oh, I try to get them to do things and they are so sarcastic. Sometimes they even raise their voice at me and stamp their feet. Oh, I don't know why they do those things. Oh, I need a miracle. Pray for me." No, I know why they do them. You're the one that they hear arguing with their husband as they try to their father as they try to fall asleep at night. You're the one they see stamp the feet. You're the one they see raise your voice at their father. You're the one that they see when you have an argument, you just turn around and walk away. You're the door that they hear slam as they try to fall asleep. You're the one they hear correcting their daddy and in his driving. You're the one they see laughing at him when he makes a mistake. Your disrespectful behavior, they learned from the master. And now you're shocked that they do those very things to you. Don't be shocked. Your behavior is training them. Dawson Troutman, the founder of the Navigators, said, "As much is caught as taught." In other words, you can teach people things, but modeling them is the other 50%. And you can say whatever you want to about your children about respecting you, but if they are receiving from you a liberal arts education in disrespecting their father, don't think they will stop at disrespecting you. You see, where in a culture where respect is earned only by great achievements or heroic deeds, your husband relies on you. And that is his gift from God. Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures to Ecclesiastes 9:9. Let's take a look at that. And ladies, the reason I want you to turn with me in your Bible to this is I want you to mark this in your Bible and enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. Can he enjoy life with a woman who shames him, who is contentious? Can he? "Which he has given you under the sun, for this is your reward." And ladies, I want you to circle that word reward. And in the margin, write respect and honor. That is one of the rewards of life that God grants a husband by giving you to him as his wife. And when you said, "I do," you swore to the God of heaven who is looking down on this ceremony to grant him enjoyment of life, that he would have the reward of a respectful wife, that he would have honor. The husband is to love you without reference to your action. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I remind husbands that Romans 5:8 says, for Christ showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Christ doesn't love us because we are righteous. He loves us because of his nature. And that we are to love our wife. Love is given, not earned. But so is respect here. Your respect and honor of your husband is something you give him. He does not have to earn it. Now, we can play this game. You can say, well, my husband doesn't deserve respect. I'm not going to respect him. And your husband can say, okay, well, you don't deserve love. I'm not going to express my love to you. Then you can say, well, then there's no sex for you. And then you say, well, I'm not coming home at night. And then you say, well, then I'm going to rebel against your spiritual leadership. And then he can say, well, then I just won't go to church. Is that how you're going to have a good marriage? Well, this is your fear, ladies, isn't it? That you will do these things and your husband will not fulfill his part. But that defaults to 1 Peter 3:1 and 2. That you win those who are disobedient to the word without a word, by your respectful behavior. That's how you do it. Practical areas of respect and disrespect in a wife's relationship with her husband. One, correcting him in the home in public. My wife is not perfect. I'm sure she's done this, but I cannot, if I had to list the number of times my wife has corrected me in front of family members or church or ministry, I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to do it. The Sunday school class is talking and they say, you know, we should all be memorizing scripture. And your husband says, oh yes, one of my favorite verses, John 5:16, for God so loved the world. It's not John 5:16. It's John 3:16. Your memory is as bad as your father's. Did you really have to correct him? Was it essential in public that you shame him? No. Just sit there and smile. And when one of the sisters says, well, I think that's John 3:16, you turn to her and say, I don't think it's in your place to correct my husband. And then you stare at her. You're at the dinner table. Your husband says, you know, I think after dinner, why don't we go see Grandma? She's only 10 kilometers away. It's 20 kilometers. We measured it 100 times. You're so bad with distances. You're as bad a driver as your father. When are you going to learn to get this? Did you really have to correct him? Did you? No. You just smile and say, that's a good idea, hon. You always have wonderful ideas. And then your son says, no, it's more like 20 kilometers. And you look at your son and you say, excuse me? Did I just hear you correct your father? You go lie in your bed and put your hands on your cheeks. You get 3 strokes for being a rebellious, disrespectful son. And then you'll come back and kiss your father on the cheek and tell him you're sorry for correcting him in public. Do you side with your husband's enemies? Like Jezebel? Or do you defend your husband and his honor? Is your husband an object of scoffing at family gatherings? I have lost friends over this issue. We have had friends where we get together and the wife will complain about her husband publicly. He works too much. He's always late. He's bad with money. And I just can't sit there and listen to people show disrespect for my friend. So I will speak up and say, well, no, that hasn't been my experience. And there are places, there are homes that I am not welcome in because I will not sit still while a wife scoffs and slanders her husband. Now, I will say this, that I also have friends whose wives, when they realized they were doing this, repented. But it's about equal number those who are angry because that is one of the sins that they allow themselves. What about family? Slandering your husband with your sisters when you talk on the phone? Do you tell them his shortcomings? Do you laugh at him? Do you complain about how much he works or his lack of interest in the church? That's gossip. That's slander. Or do you listen to their slander? If your sister or your mother criticizes your husband, do you sit there and listen to it? Or do you defend him? Are you more concerned about what your mother thinks about you than your husband's honor? Do you think your mother is going to be there to take care of you in your old age? It's going to be your husband and your children. But not if you are a contentious, shaming, disrespectful wife. Do you contrast him negatively with members of your family or his family? Why can't you be more like? Or you're just like. You're always late, just like your father. Or why can't you be on time like my brother? Is that respectful? If you do those things, you don't love Jesus. Slandering him in prayer groups. Do you go to the sisters' gossip slander prayer meeting where they sit around and talk about their husbands and slander them and then close in prayer? All the hens. Laugh at the husbands. Or do you walk out? I'm sorry, I can't stay here because I'm not going to talk about my husband. And I'm not going to listen to you talk about your husband. Can you say that? Yes, you can say it. My wife said it. I was an education minister at a church, and there was one of these prayer groups like that, and she just left. Yeah, I won't participate in this. A senior secretary in the church heard about that, asked me about it, went to it, realized what was going on, and this senior church secretary, old enough to be these women's mothers, told them they need to quit gossiping about their husbands and go home and fix him dinner. You know, there is an agreement by silence that is sin when it comes to slandering of husbands. There was a lady in our church when I was on staff at Spring Memorial Baptist Church whose husband, he was a very simple man, but very capable. And she used to compare him to the pastor in a negative light and to other men and just talk about, you know, his simple faith and kind of laugh at him. And I told her one time, no, I'm not going to listen to you slander. Oh, I'm not slandering him. And I said, oh, yes, you are. This is what you just said to me. And she was so upset that she went and talked to the pastor. And the pastor was upset that I said that because he liked being the recipient of this woman's praise and as she slandered her husband. You know, they're divorced now. Constant dripping. He decided he would rather live out in the desert than be exposed to that. Now, I don't justify his action. He should have loved her as Christ loved the church, no matter how sinful her behavior was. But we have to understand that God the Holy Spirit says that the thought comes into a man's mind. You know, rather than living with a disrespectful wife, I just live out there in the desert where there will be peace. This is contrasted with a lady who came into my office and she wanted me to pray for her husband because he wouldn't come to church. And she began talking about him. And I said, wait a minute. You can't talk to me about your husband that way. I'll go visit him, just on visitation. But I don't want to hear you talking about your husband that way. Why does he say he doesn't come to church? He said, well, his mother always nagged him. He said, do you want to be his mommy? No. And I said, here's what you do. You go to your husband, and you are going to say two things. First, you are going to ask his forgiveness for sharing his problems as prayer requests. And you are going to say, you will never do that again. And you are going to genuinely, in repentance, ask him to forgive you. Because he knows you're doing it. And then you are going to promise him that you will never again mention going to church with you. Never again. Well, 3 months later, he was sitting next to her in church. Now, that doesn't always happen. But even if he never came to church again, at least she was obeying 1 Peter 3:1 and 2. At least she was loving and obeying Jesus. At least she was conforming to the Word of God. At least she was walking in the Spirit. He's not going to come to church anyways, is he? So he might as well walk with God. I was in giving this seminar at a conference in Minsk, Belarus, in a Baptist church. And a woman stood up and through the translator began saying, well, you don't understand my husband. He drinks. He's lazy. He's a spendthrift. And I stopped her. I said, you can't talk about your husband like that in public. You need to just be tasteful and respectful towards him. That's why he's not in church. She said, well, he's sitting right here. And I said, then you need to, both of you, get up and leave the auditorium, and you need to take him by the hand and press your cheek to his hand and beg him to forgive you for how disrespectful you are. Well, she did walk out of the church, but not in repentance, in anger. So don't slander. Don't do it. Do you defend him? If a family member says something critical about your husband, do you defend him? Do you speak up? How about others? Do you speak up? I'll tell you, the people in my church know not to criticize the pastor. If somebody says something critical to me about the pastor, I'll go, oh, pastor, could you come here for a second? This dear brother has something he wants to share with you. I won't listen to slander. And there are women in the church who know not, they would not dare say anything about me because of her response. She's no fun. That's their attitude towards Ellen. She's no fun. She won't come to the gossip meeting. She doesn't play fair. We all gossip and she won't gossip. But she won't do it. And don't you do it either. Don't listen to people criticize your husband. We were driving home from church and There was a gentleman sitting behind me who was a leader in the church, and we were talking about the sermon, and you know, I was being a distracted driver, and I drifted over a little, and somebody honked at me. So I pulled back in the lane. What would you say?
You drive just like your father. We're all going to get killed. Pay attention. Don't be a distracted driver.
You know what my wife said? The window was open. She leaned her head out and said, "You jerk, don't you honk at my husband." Do you side with your husband's enemies? Do you side with those who honk at him in public? Or do you defend him? My heart trusts in Eleanor. I never worry about my reputation around her. Does your husband trust his reputation with you? You know, you can steal my purse, Shakespeare said. It was here, it was gone, it may be here again. It comes and goes. But he who steals my good name, I can never recover from that. Is your good name, is your husband's good name safe with you? Are you such a timid, weak wife? Are you so far from being the daughter of Sarah in 1 Peter 3:6, who is not terrorized by any fear? Are you so below Ruth? Are you so below Esther? Are you so below Sarah that when a family member speaks against your husband, you just sit there and allow them to do it? How are you going to be used by God to defend his name if you can't even defend your husband's name? What about your children? If one of the children spoke disrespectful to me, and Eleanor could be in the other room, and she would come walking over and say, "Come back here. You don't talk to your father that way." Now apologize to your father, and if they are under 12, she would say, "Now go into your room and put your hands on your cheeks." That's going to be 3 strokes for disrespecting your father. And then she would send them in to kiss me on the cheek. And again, ask about it. If they were above the spanking age, she would say, "And don't make any plans for Saturday. You're going to be working and thinking about how important it is to respect your father this Saturday." How about your actions on your husband's birthday? Is it celebrated? Is there a cake? Do you make sure the children have all written cards? If the children are old enough to have money, do you make sure they've brought him gifts? Is it a time of honor at the evening meal or at the birthday celebration? Do you make sure your children are there? "Yes, but I wanted to go to the football." "No, you're not going anywhere. This is the day we honor your father." "No." Christmas, do your children all make their father a Christmas card and get him gifts? When I would discipline one of the children, sometimes they would run to their mother. You know what would happen? She would discipline them for trying to bring division between us and send them back to me. "Oh, yes, oh, you poor child. Oh, yes, I understand. He's such a bully. He's so strict. Oh, here, just love me. Oh." No, that's not respectful. You send them back to them. And that includes your adult children. "Oh, Daddy doesn't understand." "Oh, no, don't you talk about your father to me that way. Your father does understand." No. No, where do you provide a united front? Or do you shame and create contention in the family by siding with your children? Are you his biggest fan? What about sports? If he plays a sport, you know, on a church league, are you there with the children shouting and cheering for him? How about work? When's the last time you showed up at his job site with a special treat, dressed really attractively for him? Because you want to know all the ladies at work, you want them to know he has a godly, chaste, attractive wife. And all the men there, you want them to know what a fan you are. How about in church? Do you sit with him at church? Are you his helpmate in his ministry or his competitor? Are you his greatest fan? How about the way you dress? Does the way you dress reflect great respect? Okay? You're going to go meet the president. So you wear blue jeans and a t-shirt, right? No. You have a conference with the headmaster of the school. So you wear shorts and sandals? No. You have to make an appearance in court. You have to give a presentation at church. You are going to sing special music at church. How do you dress? You dress respectfully, don't you? And you can dress like that for your husband when he walks through the door. What about meals? If you are having the pastor over, do you fix a special meal? If you are having his boss over, do you fix a special meal? If the ladies' group is coming to have a prayer meeting at your house and you're in charge of the table, does it look nice? Well, what about your husband? Do you show him respect? Are you his helpmate? Or do you take advantage of his weakness? You see, Eleanor is my helpmate. I am a big picture guy, and I am not good with details. When we put together our budget, now I tell the men, she can't be your helpmate if you don't let her help you. So I ask Eleanor to help me with the details of the budget. I am not a good speller. Eleanor will check all my documents for me if I ask her. I have difficulty with names, and when we're in a group, if Eleanor senses that I have forgotten someone's name, she'll say, Oh, I'm sorry, my name's Eleanor, I didn't catch your name. And then he'll say, well, my name's Joshua. Oh, I'm sorry, Joshua, this is my wife, Eleanor. Now, that's respectful, isn't it? Does she say, I'm sorry, or do you say, I'm sorry my husband didn't introduce you, but that's because he couldn't remember your name anyways. That's shaming him. Eleanor can sing. She has a beautiful singing voice. She sings solos, she sings trios, she's a pianist. I cannot sing. She has never made me feel bad, because as a minister, I never can sing duets with my wife like some ministers do. And she has never, somebody said, you know, I heard somebody singing off tune. She would never say, oh, that's my husband. She would never say that. And if they mentioned something, she would say, I'm sorry, but you're mistaken. I love to hear my husband's voice, and I don't think you should bring him up in a conversation like this. Would you say that? Do you say that? Or do you take advantage of his? I'm colorblind. Eleanor knows that. I'm not totally colorblind, but brown, black, gray, and blue all look the same to me. So she doesn't let me wear wrongly matched socks or pants and a coat. But she doesn't make fun of me either, and she has never said in public, you should have seen what he was about to wear if it hadn't been for me. She's my helpmate, but does not take advantage of my weaknesses. Can you say that about your husband? She never competed in my ministry or my career. When we were in the Navigators, on numerous occasions, she was offered positions, which in reality were probably more prestigious than mine. She always said no.
No, I'm my husband's helpmate.
I was counseling with a couple that were involved in a parachurch group, and he was the city leader of the group, and his wife had been offered the position of being the translator and assistant for the man, for the minister in charge of the whole country. And I said, "You can't." I told her, "You can't do that. You can't take that position. Your job is not to help this other man. You're your husband's helpmate. And how is he going to feel when you're invited to staff meetings and he's not? When you're invited to the ethereal conferences that exist with these guys, you know, who exist up in the supra organization levels, and your husband is not. So no, don't do it. Don't accept those positions. Whose picture is on your cell phone? See? Let me show you guys something.
Oh? Here. Okay.
Whose picture is on my cell phone? Whose picture? That's my wife Eleanor, isn't it? Isn't she attractive? I picked out one of the most attractive pictures I have of her. Put it on my cell phone. She's on the wallpaper of my laptop. Now let me ask you something, ladies. Whose picture is on your cell phone? Your dog? Your child? Some relative? You know what picture is on my wife's cell phone? It's me preaching at a conference. That honors me. You know what's on the wallpaper of her laptop? It's me preaching at a different conference. That honors me. What have you done to honor your husband? You see, what does it say? Let the wife see to it, doesn't it? And what does it say? It says she must see to it. It's not when you get around to it. If you love Jesus and are going to keep His commandments, you must see to it that you respect your husband. What have you done to respect and honor your husband in the family today? This week? This month? What have you done specifically? You went, it was an intentional action to see that your husband is respected in church. For you to have a staff position in the church and your husband not have a staff position, that is not intentionally honoring him. What intentionally honoring him is saying, no, I'll be seated with my husband. He should have that staff position. We'll go to a church that honors him. How about the extended family? Do you have a list of things that you say to your sisters and your mom and dad and members of the extended family that are honoring to your husband that you make sure are said? How about his work? Do you show up at his work and make sure he's honored? And at your work, do you have a picture of him on the desk? Do you talk about his achievements and what a wonderful husband you have and how thankful you are of him? Does everybody get tired of hearing about your husband? Do they? Well, remember, we always come back to this. If you are not going to do this, who do you want to do it? What, do you want Sister Jezebel? You're sitting at church and you notice that she always sits by him, and if there's any type of discussion, she immediately starts talking about how smart he is and all that she's learned from him. The wives are talking and they're talking about their husband, and Sister Jezebel immediately starts talking about how handsome your husband is and how fun he is and how smart he is. Do you like that? You're sitting there talking with your husband, and Sister Jezebel comes up and interrupts and says to your husband, "Oh, you just look so handsome today. And oh, I wish you had been teaching that class because you are so smart. And I've got some questions I have from you at the Bible because you make the Bible so clear to me. Could we talk about that for a little while?" And oh. Yeah, I just think you are such a wonderful man. Are you happy if Sister Jezebel talks like that to your husband? If you pick up your husband's phone and you find text from Sister Jezebel telling him how handsome he is, how masculine he is, how smart he is, how funny he is, and what intelligent conversation he is, what a great Bible. Do you want him to have a whole stream of texts on a regular basis from Sister Jezebel? Do you? Do you want the adulterer to be flattering him with words? Then you do it. You say, "Well, I'm not going to do it, but nobody else is going to do it." He's going to go through life shamed and then die before me. And he's going to go through life when he hears this message saying, "You know, I always wondered if there were really women who acted like that. I wish my wife was like Eleanor, John's wife." Is that what the testimony you want? That your husband wishes that you treated him like some woman he's never even met treats her husband? No. You want your husband's testimony to be, "I don't know what he's talking about. It's a joy for me to come home because of the honor and respect. I never worry about my reputation at family meetings. I'm never the object of jokes. People don't correct me. My wife is the defender of my reputation." May God add His blessing to His holy work. In Christ's name we pray that.
Amen.